Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
It's SummerSlam week. I'm busy, but I'm confident because JTJ is greater than symbol FTF.
Is it?
I mean, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
What the hell, man?
Well, I'm just a bit concerned with the SummerSlam rule. Like, obviously, I'm Team JTJ.
Yes,
always jam that jam.
I'm with you until the end.
I'm wearing the t-shirt. I am with you until the end. I have been with you through thick and thin, and I will walk on glass. If you told me to walk on glass, I would be like, absolutely, boss. This is what best friends do.
Walk on glass.
I haven't got any here, but I'm just a bit concerned about SummerSlam. So I'm putting out a call. I know you're all the podcats, you're all the pod swafters, stole podcats from someone else. Adam Buxton, thank you. But you're our guys. We need you on the live stream reactions for SummerSlam. And make sure that hashtag JTJ, jam that jam, wins. So we don't have to rebrand WrestleTalk with FTF, F that F, because yeah. which and look, as I said, I will do anything you ask me to do, but I do think this might have been your most reckless decision yet, and I was with you for 500k day.
Hey man, that's a deep cut. Who thought, who could possibly foresee trying to bring five different very busy people on at the same time? Names like Don Callis, Brian Zane, Grado, Kenny. Who was that?
Joe
Hendry. Who would have thought that wouldn't come together in a coherent way? I think anyone could have made that mistake. This one, you've got to remember, it's not just the idea that FTF could become the new channel slogan, which it can't, it won't, it'll demonetize the channel. It's more about getting rid of it. That's what we're doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. We're looking to banish FTF for good, and we need your help in order to do that. What we also need your help with is listening to the upcoming review, because we've got to talk about Raw. Not a great episode, I think it must be said. I think that's fairly unanimous feelings on the show, but let's find out.
Don't say that. As soon as you say that, everyone's going to suddenly come out and say they loved it. We're going to get tweets. All the live chat is going to be about how great this episode was. What a fantastic go-home episode to Raw.
Well, let's find out. Here is the show.
Mustafa Ali has been buried on Raw. It's been even shorter than normal. Last month, we had Ali make his return to WWE after being off TV for most of 2020, he jumped brands from SmackDown, where he was rumored to be the identity behind the SmackDown hacker, an angle that was dropped. And then he moves across to, I'm just starting to play over on another screen, where he jumps over to Raw, and it's like, hey, he's gone straight into... What's up?
No, sorry. Sorry. No, ignore me. Carry on.
He's gone straight into the US title picture. He's feuding with MVP, who was kind of the US champion back then. I can't remember. Maybe he's going to be in the mix of all the diversity division in WWE, which is rather beautifully, ironically, the United States championship picture. So all of this is happening, and God damn it, I got suckered in again. I thought, hey, they might actually be pushing Ali. But then came the reports, and we saw it play out, that he's wrestling a match here and there on Main Event with Ricochet. He didn't really feature at all last week. And now here, he's back into the United States title picture. He's in this six-man elimination tag match. And he is first eliminated in a matter of moves by Bobby Lashley. Not just squashed, but let's be honest, buried.
Yeah, this also includes that he had a match on Main Event where he lost to Riddick Moss. So, and there was a report, I think it was last week or maybe the week prior, that Vince has already given up on Mustafa Ali, doesn't really see any potential in him. So, which kind of begs the question, what'd you bother bringing him back for and giving him like that big return angle with Ricochet and Cedric? Because now they're just a group of mates who all just feel like losers, basically.
With the greatest respect to Riddick Moss there beating Ali, he is Raw Underground's Riddick Moss. Like, I have no problem with Moss picking up a win here. He's a main eventer soon. But yeah, Ali in general. It's depressing. And they're running this storyline with Cedric Alexander in the mix of all this, because this division has Apollo, Ricochet, Alexander, they're kind of a lame tag team, and Ali on one side, and you've got the Hurt Business on the other, the Hurt Business. It's got MVP, Shelton Benjamin, and Bobby Lashley. And then, like, awkwardly, Akira Tozawa and R-Truth will often run through these segments, trading the 24/7 title back and forth with Shelton Benjamin too. So there's all of your diversity in one neat section there of the episode. But yeah, it feels like they're doing the storyline with Cedric Alexander, the one where MVP is playing off the fact that he's often left on the sidelines. Ricochet's the brighter star, but really that storyline doesn't work because it's not like Ricochet has done much this year. I know he got a title match against Brock Lesnar at Super Showdown, but I feel like that story would be better served for Ali, who's now gotten lost in the shuffle.
I like this comment from Sandman Sizzle that just said, Ali is done. He got Umberto'd.
It's exactly it. But with Umberto was a completely fresh face. And, you know, sometimes that was too much too soon in matches with Seth Rollins and Andrade? AJ Styles, that was it. AJ Styles beat him so much. With Ali, you know, he's proven himself on 205 Live. He's proven himself with SmackDown. And we talked about this last week. Well, me and Andy talked about it on SmackDown for the SmackDown review. And that is, if WWE don't start pushing you by now, you are never going to be pushed beyond a certain division. And that's what's happened to Ali here. Like, he's got Ali, Chad Gable, Cedric Alexander, Ricochet. If you really want to make a go of your wrestling career, you can't do it in WWE. It's just a fact that you've got to realize now.
Yeah, I mean, and you could say that perhaps we're being too negative about this. The all we're doing is constant negativity. But I think this has really come to light with us recently, because we're doing a Patreon review of SummerSlam 2010. And the opening match on that card is Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston for the IC title. And you fast forward 10 years later, and they're both still in the mid card. Yeah, they may have had world title runs, but they were never like the main event world title runs. Kofi was never the top champion in WWE. He was the third most important thing on SmackDown when he was the champion. Dolph was never the top guy when he was pushed. So those guys have just been either mid-card or lower mid-card for 10 years, which basically means in 10 years' time, in the year 2030, Mustafa Ali, Chad Gable, Humberto Carrillo, Ricochet, Cedric will just be in the exact same position they are now, but they might have had, if they're lucky, a couple of month title reign where they're not pushed to the top guys.
Because I think there's this mentality where, hey, they're still really early on in their career. If they just keep at it, then, you know, they'll work their way up the mid-card and you'll work your way into the main event scene. That's historically how it's always been done. You very rarely go into the main event scene on day one and you dominate. Or do it over a very short period of time. But I think, yeah, it's watching back SummerSlam 2010 and seeing all of that mid-card who had so much promise, so much potential, people who got genuinely over with the crowd. They took the brass rings, you know? The thing that WWE always says, that's what you've got to do. That's the prerequisite to us pushing you. They got the brass rings and then nothing happened to them. And they're at the same place, arguably even a little bit lower than they were 10 years ago. So, yeah, it is what it is.
We talked about this on the SummerSlam show, which will be out for Patreons hopefully this week, but possibly early next week, is that really in WWE, if you're going to be a top guy, you need to have been picked out as a top guy when you went in. Like Randy Orton, when he went into WWE, was picked out to be a top guy. Batista was picked out to be a top guy. John Cena, you know, I mean, yeah, he nearly got fired after his pretty terrible babyface run early on. But they brought him in to have that feud with Kurt Angle and be a top guy. They'd already sort of picked him out. But if you're coming in like Cedric Alexander, you're not picked out to be a top guy. Ricochet is a great example of this. Never going to be anything more than a mid-card guy in WWE, no matter how good he is, no matter how talented he is. They looked at him and was like, nope, you're a mid-carder. And that is it. That's the brand that you get. And you can throw Kofi Kingston all you want. Kofi Kingston was a mid-carder and still is a mid-carder in WWE's eyes. He's never going to be a main event level talent to them. No matter how connected you get with the crowd, Zack Ryder was more over with the crowd than anyone in the WWE roster is today. And he was never going to be a main event guy. Rusev is another one. Do you hear Rusev tell the story recently? Like, you know, basically Vince thought that we were like, the Rusev Day was a joke on him and that we were all in on the joke. We weren't cheering for him. We were making fun of him. So they never saw him as a top guy.
Yeah. But you know, it works on the other end as well. Drew McIntyre is an example of someone who was very publicly declared as the chosen one, someone WWE saw value in initially. It took a while to get there, but it has now happened in a big way. And yeah, I feel like I'm not going to let myself get invested in certain people in WWE anymore, because they're never going to get pushed in the way I think they deserve, their talents deserve. If I was looking up around the card, not as bad as Ali and Ricochet and the way they've been treated, but I don't think Andrade and Angel Garza are ever going to get beyond a certain level, which is Cesaro is another one. Cesaro's going to be 40. I think he's turning 40 very soon. He's not got long left with the way he wrestles. 5 years or so. He's never going to be what he should be in that company.
No. But there's an interesting comment here from Jobber JJ that says, Steve Austin was never a top guy, but ended up as the top guy because WWE brought him in to be a mid-card, you're the ringmaster technician. Austin ended up being a top guy by accident because he wasn't supposed to win King of the Ring 1996, but the curtain call happened, so they went with someone else instead. Triple H was the guy they'd picked. He was the top guy that they had chosen to you know, run with the company. Steve Austin got over by accident. Difference is, they ran with that momentum. They saw it get over, was like, that's getting pretty hot. Let's go with it. I don't think WWE today would see that guy, that sort of like organic fire, and be like, yeah, let's run with that. I don't think they'd give it a go.
That's misremembered, though, that sort of run for Austin. It wasn't that quick. You know, it was still like 6 months, a year later before they finally started.
2 years later.
Yeah, before they finally started getting behind him properly. I mean, Becky Lynch, they kind of did do it recently. But it's so rare. It's so rare for WWE to change their initial impressions on someone.
But even Becky Lynch was not the chosen girl. No. Charlotte was the chosen girl to be it. Like, that, like, they did not want Becky Lynch in that WrestleMania main event, but really were left with no other choice after we were like, no, this is what we want. They were like, no, it's really Ronda versus Charlotte. That's the WrestleMania main event with this. Becky Lynch is sorted there as well, I guess.
But they did. I think that's disingenuous, because they did go with her eventually. She won both the belts. She had a whole year on top, really, after that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Lockdown has been hard on lots of people, but it's also been tough on, well, you know,
my big hairy balls, Luke.
Yes, your big hairy balls, Ollie.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped, for providing the best materials to give you the best manscaping experience possible. This could be the greatest ball shaving of all time.
Hygiene is super important in this, the new now. And the Perfect Package Essentials Kit by Manscaped comes with everything you need. High-performance USB rechargeable body trimmers with its advanced skin-safe technology, which is far more impressive than WWE's AI. Are nonsense at their pay-per-views.
It's not just your big hairy balls that need sorting out. You also need to look at your big hairy nails, or your long hairy nails, or your big long nails.
Along with the Perfect Package Kit, you should also order the Shears 2.0, a newly improved luxury 4-piece nail kit with stainless steel / tipped tweezers, round point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file.
Enroll in the Peak Hygiene Plan for quarterly replenishments of your favorite products and get 20% off your order using the code WTTV.
There's even free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia, and old blighty United Kingdom. So get 20% off your order at manscaped.com using the promo code WTTB.
That's manscaped.com with the code WTTV for 20% off your order. Your neat and tidy balls will thank you. Patreon shoutouts. Thank you to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. I think he's talking to you. Damian Thompson, woohoo.
Happy Lovely stuff. The Joker, Dave Heath.
Thank you, Dave. How do you like them apples? Marcel Durer.
I love them, mate. They tasted great. The Real Boss, Matt Robinson.
Thank you. The monster among Patreons, Brian Strowman.
Ryan. They drew first blood, not me, Grace Rambo.
Thank you
very much.
The Long Kong. The Long Con, Josh Conley.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Robin Banks, Lee Roberts.
Thank you. Former star athlete, now head coach, Landell Branson.
Lovely stuff. Always leave the crowd wanting, Brian Moore.
Thanks, Brian. Jam that, James Dillon. You're a winner.
Yes. Jam that jam. And lastly for now, have a glass of sherry, Martel J. Simmons. That's a clever one.
That's good. Well done.
That is good.
But let's get on with your super chats about this episode of Raw, and then we'll get on with the full play-by-play review. Now, before we started this, we were experiencing some technical difficulties. There were a few rumors that Sean Ross Sapp was trying to get in the feed, but don't worry, we've got some security guys on the front door. We've got two security guys there. They're on the front
live,
door.
A live feed of actual security guards that are outside the WrestleTalk HQ production truck, so that we won't get any interference from Sean. It's not going to happen. Yeah,
I think we're safe there. So let's get in with your super chats. Lester Wink 2-3. If Ali and Ricochet were buried any deeper, they'd have to look up to see Raw Underground.
Hey!
That's a good joke. Oh, I want to steal that for next week. We've got Vandalia, 1998. Do you think Ali would have been pushed last year if the injury hadn't happened and the Kofi thing hadn't happened, or would it have not lasted long? Fantastic question. I forgot about this.
It is an interesting question, but I still don't think... No, I think he would have... Because the Ali story was supposed to come to an end because the match that they had was Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. So Ali's WWE title push would have been through Elimination Chamber and then end there, because the story they were doing was Owens and Bryan, and then whatever they would have done with it after that. But Kofi Mania got hot, so they went with Kofi Mania instead.
Well, apparently Bryan really wanted to work with Ali as well. Yeah. So who knows? Yeah,
he kept pinning Bryan. Mm. And like, but Mustafa Ali's story since then, he got injured, came back, cut weeks and weeks and weeks of promos that went nowhere. Like, remember all those cool promos?
Good
that he
promos
was
as well, yeah.
Great promos that led to nothing. So then he was going to be the SmackDown hacker, which led to nothing. I know some people are writing their own version of history that it's now tied to Retribution, but really. And yeah, and now he's just on Raw, getting beaten by the bigger lads.
Well, speaking of meh tribution, who came up with that joke? I've already forgotten.
I thought you wrote it down. One second.
It was the ghost something. Someone on Twitter came up with it.
It was Noah Mason, House of Lucy. Noah Mason. Meh tribution.
We are rechristening them meh tribution. Will Hayes says meh tribution attacked the production van. Show carries on as normal. Why didn't this happen at the end of the show?
They weren't trying to end the show. They were trying to send them to an ad break, which they were successful in. They got what they wanted for that evening and were like, right, that's our night done, lads.
It's not looking good. Rhys Johnson, meh tribution has already got go-away heat from me. That's no good. And Spencer O, I wish commentary would just call Retribution instead of the group that calls themselves Retribution.
No, that's their tagline. That's their name now. It's like she calls it the Rear View. That's what Naomi's move was called for a long time.
Shall we get on with the rest of the play-by-play of the episode here?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I need to... it leads us quite nicely into Retribution, because like the start of the show, like the first 10 minutes of this show were very much sort of about Retribution, because the intro was all screwed up, darn you, Retribution, like messing up all the graphics. And then Drew came out to do a promo. There's new sound effects on Drew's entrance music. He's got like a sword like going across.
I want him to start coming out with a sword. When he gets that WrestleMania entrance next year, full on Jon Snow leading a charge of wildlings. That's what Scotland is.
And he's cutting this promo. He even makes a reference to the with a tear in my eye Ric Flair promo. But then graphics start to appear on the screen. They start sort of showing replays. They start sort of showing the start of the show again. They kind of cut to picture in picture with replays. And it kind of takes a little bit away from Drew's promo a little bit to put a focus on Retribution. And then it cuts to the production truck with Retribution going in there and terrorizing the team to shout at them to go to the commercial break. And they go to the commercial break, they come back, and that was the last we saw of Retribution on this night. They are an inconsistent group of attackers.
Yeah, who hate SmackDown. Like here they, you know, they play a few promos out of order. It was quite well done the way they showed technical glitches. It was quite realistic. I don't know if you've played Metal Gear Solid 2, but near the end of that game, the fabric of the game itself starts to unravel, where it says you're playing a game, turn off the console, and it plays various graphics from the loading screen, stuff that shouldn't be happening within the game. I got similar vibes from that. I thought that was well done. And then when they came back, it was a very pared back production. MVP's promo next and the Hurt Business was just like a couple of hard cams. And it took a while before someone got a sort of handheld to go in and shoot the close-ups. I liked the way that was presented. But yeah, it was, then they weren't seen again.
Well, okay, so I really liked the way that it was presented as well. It really kind of added this sort of chaos feel to it. The WWE was scrambling to get this done. But all the while Oscar Thinker was like, wow, they've really improved the production of this show now, because it's one static shot. I can see the ring. There's no horrible zooms. There's no, this camera's not moving around. It was very, very watchable for a little while there, actually. Retribution improved the show for me somewhat.
A babyface turn for Metribution? It's happened.
So we've had this coming in. We had this email that came in from Tobias, who was kind of talking about Retribution. Mm. And a few people have presented this theory as well, where we're sort of like, because we were talking that Retribution has presented this sort of pathetic mid-card act of lame actions. And the kind of running theory through a lot of people is that it's modeled on the ongoing protests of against racism, police crimes, and the government. And it's basically the McMahon family parodying protests as lame things. So they have given them lame things to do because they think the protesters in America at the moment are lame.
Hmm. Could be. That could definitely be a thing. Or it could just be Vince half watching the news, thinking this is like getting a spark of an idea and just doing a version of it. I don't think they're doing this and thinking Retribution enough. I think they're doing it thinking Retribution looks cool in what they're doing. And oh, what a scourge that the locker room have to unite against. Drew McIntyre did that afterwards. I don't love the idea of babyface champions being like, oh, it's up to me and my duty to make sure everyone in the locker room is looked after. I kind of prefer the more just like badass champions. I've sort of gone through the John Cena era of I love WWE more than myself way of doing things. But, you know, that all the baby faces are there. There's a few heels as well. Akira Tozawa, Titus O'Neil's there. And then Seth Rollins sort of had a confrontation with Drew saying, I'm the locker room leader here. And I think that is setting up Drew's post-SummerSlam feud, regardless of whether he has the title or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps. I certainly think so. I think they really were setting the seeds here for some more Seth versus Drew down the line, because we had that just after Drew won the title. But to be honest, I think Seth is doing some really great work at the moment. I really like his Messiah gimmick. So yeah, I'd quite like to see him go out up against Drew. Granted, I don't think Drew's walking out of SummerSlam as WWE champion, unfortunately. But yeah, I some of this, I thought some of this presentation of Metribution was actually pretty good in terms of sort of how they played it and made it look real. But overall, I did think it was pretty lame because they just sort of, they were here for 10 minutes and then left. They just don't feel pretty chaotic. And this show, I don't know about you, but I found this show exhausting to watch because there was so much going on with this show. So like they were playing two segments at the same time. And in several moments, they were doing two segments at the same time. And it was exhausting.
Yeah, sometimes it was. And sometimes it came at the detriment of what was going on in the ring, chiefly the Natalya and Mickey James match, which I was actually looking forward to seeing. And they just focused in on Seth Rollins having an argument with Samoa Joe on commentary. But mostly I thought it was okay. I was more let down by the overall good angle to go into SummerSlam. You know, for a go-home show, I thought this left a lot lacking. But we'll carry on with where we got to. The Hurt Business have cut that promo in the ring. MVP blames Apollo Crews for Metribution. And Apollo comes out and he has a match with Shelton. If Apollo wins, that means no Shelton or Bobby Lashley at ringside for SummerSlam. And he won because R-Truth ran through the ring.
Yeah, so R-Truth distracted Shelton Benjamin to allow Apollo Crews to pick up the win. Shelton Benjamin obviously beat Apollo Crews last week. And then Truth runs back into the ring and Shelton hit the pay dirt on him to win the 24-7 title. And then there was a challenge to a six-man tag elimination match because we also had the other lads, the Losers Club run out. We had Ricochet and Cedric and Ali run out to kind of make the save. Yeah, to make the save a little bit.
After that, Thunderdome was announced as a thing. I want to get a lightning thunder effect. Thunderdome is going to be a thing. And that's because from this Friday's SmackDown, everything's going to be taking place in the Amway Center. Have you seen any of the sort of videos showcasing the set?
I've not, but I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a really interesting way. Like, and I think that maybe they've nailed it. Maybe, like, you know, Kevin Dunn did an interview about that. That's how sort of serious WWE are taking. Kevin Dunn does not do interviews. God, I can imagine there'd be a list of people that would love to interview Kevin Dunn. But I'm really excited to see what Thunderdome brings to WWE.
Yeah, I imagine it's just going to be a sort of superficial presentation in that it's not going to be tied to a new theme or direction for Raw. You know, kind of like how Raw Underground has its set inherently tied to the concept. But yeah, I'll see. I kind of do want it to just be, I just want them to say, you know what? Jam it. Let's just have this pretend it's a post-apocalyptic world outside of the Thunderdome and all these people come to fight for water or oil or whatever precious resource they need.
It's just a branding name. Like they rather than call them LED boards and virtual fans, they call them the Thunderdome. Like the presentation of WWE will be exactly the same.
The big video screen on the Titantron. Yeah, they've got a. You mean the big building where the headquarters is? Titan Towers.
Oh, you mean wrestling?
Sports entertainment. So we'll see how it goes. Certainly curious, but I've become quite. It's an end of an era, in a way. This episode of Raw. I've become quite comfortable in the Performance Center.
Banging on the plexiglass.
Yeah. Gonna miss the plexiglass. Nia should have just destroyed it all. Why didn't Retribution tear down the entire Performance Center?
Because they only hate SmackDown.
You can write out the Performance Center here. Come on, bloody Performance Center. Not putting anyone out. Putting anyone over on the way out. The veterans of these days. Angel Garza then had, a thing with Ivar. Where the Bachelor's Demi Burnett is seemingly trapped in the Performance Center. She's been there for 3 weeks now. So that's two separate taping rotations, unless they recorded these in advance. Ivar's flirting with her with a giant turkey leg. Angel Garza's flirting with her with a rose. They have a match. And there was a bit of shenanigans with Zelina Vega and Garza One with a really cool looking drop kick to the side of the head, a new finisher for him.
Yeah, which really puts over the Viking Raiders looking cool in Raw Underground.
Yeah, but, you know, Andrade and Garza, they're fighting for the tag team titles. You want to, they better win everything on this show.
But yeah, so like this sets up kind of a bit of a show long storyline that they had for this, which is playing up again this who poisoned Montez Ford. So Joe explains, because Dawkins is on the screen with, what's her name? Demi Burnett. Demi Burnett, thank you. She's been on 3 weeks and I still don't know her name. She does bad acting is what she does. But Dawkins is on the screen and he says, we've got some video footage that you're going to want to see. And Samoa Joe explains to Zelina Vega that because of retribution, kind of like how we have here, they, like with our security, are outside. Just going to cut
thanks,
that
guys, keeping it safe.
Thank you very much. Because of the heightened security, they're putting cameras where you wouldn't expect cameras to be. And what we found out when we cut backstage is that Dawkins is showing Demi Burnett her phone, and they play this video that is Vega seemingly putting something into Montez Ford's drink. And Charlie Caruso sort of says, hey, that's pretty damning evidence against you there. And Vega says, no, I think Charlie Caruso is behind this. And then Montez Ford returns, jumps in, and they have a little scuffle to lead to a match later on.
Yeah, so we'll might as well talk about that match. Came a lot later on, actually. Was it the match before the main event? Yeah. Ford just beat Andrade in pretty quick fashion when Bianca Belair attacked Vega on the outside. Ford did this insane dive over the top rope, you know, when he gets so much height on it. It looks like he's just going to go right into the center of the earth, 90-degree angle down. But he just gets that last-minute flip onto his feet. But yeah, Ford beat Andrade here. Dawkins won last week. Bianca Belair's laying out Vega. There's no heat going into the SummerSlam tag title match now.
The Profits keep winning. I had two notes for that match, which was Blair attacks Vega, Ford wins. And it's so you were saying on the predictions here, you don't think it was Zelina Vega that poisoned Montez Ford, because they sort of played it up that it was her in this show. But I've got to think this story can't be that Bobbins that they would spend 3 weeks being like, it wasn't her, then just be like, no, it was her.
Yeah. That's my folly in thinking that it can't be just that. Surely there's got to be a proper payoff here. I think that, so the positioning of the camera was very telling for me. Her back's to the camera. She's obscuring where she's doing, so allegedly doing the deed. And when she leaves, there's the sort of Street Profits crown and the red cup, which she allegedly has tampered with. I think that was staged in that way, so there's an out. And Vega denied it, but she didn't deny it in a way where someone was telling the truth. It still seemed like she was lying. So I don't know what they're going for, really. I think it will be revealed that someone else is behind the poisoning, though. And I think it'll be retribution to get
the
tag titles.
And you could do that reveal at SummerSlam as well. Because it also felt weird that they brought Montez Ford back the week before SummerSlam, rather than try and build some intrigue to be like, will Montez Ford even make it to SummerSlam? To be like, no, he will be there. And also he beat Andrade again.
Yeah. After that, we got Natalya and Mickie James. Already kind of spoken about it. I was looking forward to Mickie James's in-ring return. I love Mickie James. I really liked Lana and Natalya's act last week. Lana's filming everything on her phone. They're social media influencers. Near 40-year-old Natalya, social media influencers. And Seth comes down with Buddy and just starts yelling at Samoa Joe about, do you know if Rey Mysterio's here or not? Because Samoa Joe, his new gimmick, by the way, is he knows everything. If you want to know if someone's in the building or if someone's poisoned someone, you go to Joe. You ask Joe. And everyone else is like, well, what's happening? Like to Tom Phillips and Byron Saxton, they didn't know what was going on.
Well, Corey Graves is on SmackDown now, so someone needs to fill in the I know all the ins and outs of he's Corey Graves from a few years ago. He's going to tell Kurt Angle very soon that he knows his secret. He's going to get phone calls and be like, oh no, I've got to leave for a moment.
It was Big Cass who beat up Enzo Amore. Yeah, it's lazy story line, unfortunately. We'll see. That there was nothing really else to talk about there. Mickie James lost via countout.
Yeah, well, it's just such a lame. So is she back for good now? Is she back for a while?
No idea.
So I don't really know about that. And have you noticed that WWE have got a new gimmick that they're trying out? They tried out for this week. So no entrance.
Which one?
All the matches.
Really?
Well, we didn't get an entrance for the Hurt Business. They were just standing in the ring. And then Apollo Crews came out for that segment leading to the match. Anson and Garza didn't get entrances. James and Natalia didn't get entrances. The Golden Role Models in the next segment were standing in the ring. Oh, no, they did get those. They did get entrances.
Seth Peyton got an entrance.
Peyton Royce and Ruby Riott didn't get an entrance. And I don't think that the six-man tag later on got entrances either. And I don't think Andrade and Ford got entrances either.
Wow, Retribution really did a number on that truck. They deleted all of the Videotrons and the music. God damn them.
They unsigned them out of Spotify and they couldn't remember the login for the pro version.
There's their dastardly ways know no limits. just a sort of PSA here, just been messaged. We were setting up the FTF or JTJ vote for the live reactions on SummerSlam this Sunday. Please join us and help us make Jam That Jam win the vote. But apparently the bot has developed sentience and just started asking people to vote for JTJ or FTF. Thank you for everyone who did vote.
Yeah, thank you very much. I did.
It won't count
that
until Sunday.
I did spot that going into the chat. I just assumed it was Rich trialing things. I was like, that's a smart way of doing it. Just trialing it out and see if it works in the live environment.
No, it's just a Skynet taking over. So after that, we got one of my favorite things on the show. They are every week. It's the women's division. I know that Asuka is facing both Bayley and Sasha Banks for the titles. Sure, that takes away a spot from someone on SmackDown. And I agree. That is a bit crappy. However, it's not like there's been a big feud or someone's particularly over there to make it worth it. And I'm really into the Asuka versus the Role Model storyline. I think the idea of Asuka going for both belts provides a really dramatic, interesting storyline full of potential on SummerSlam within the night. I love storylines that unfold over the course of a few matches at a pay-per-view. So I'm really into that. And I was really into this here. It was Banks and Bayley versus Asuka and Shayna Baszler. Banks and Bayley cut a promo beforehand asking who should face Asuka first at SummerSlam. Because you want to go second, right? They're a bit roughed up. It'll be easier to win. And they decide on Bayley.
Yes, because Bayley is going to like soften her up for Banks to easily tap her out later in the night. I missed SmackDown. Obviously, I'm not on the SmackDown podcast, but I do listen to you and Andy talking about it. But people really down on Asuka winning the Battle Royal.
Well, you know, it is a bit rubbish that you've got a whole SmackDown women's division that isn't getting a look in and Asuka's just getting two matches. I think it is. I think it's a bit of a waste of that women's division. You could have built someone else up.
Genius, to be honest.
I also think it's a good storyline. So
yeah,
I think you can believe both things at the same time. Wrestling Observer were down on it too. And quite a few people online. Yeah,
I thought it was so clever. Because it was the one thing I wasn't expecting to happen. I saw a lot of people speculating there was going to be someone from NXT because WWE are really unhappy with NXT's ratings at the moment. But I was like, no, I think it's really cool that Asuka won the Battle Royal and she's going to be facing both of them in the same night. And maybe it is because I'm just so into this storyline that I'm really chuffed that we're going to get two Asuka matches on the pay-per-view. Yeah, I love it.
Well, we got a kind of preview of it here because Baszler was taken out immediately by Nia Jax, who bust through a plexiglass screen and brawled with Baszler, taking her out for a bit. And that left Asuka to get worked over by the role models. I thought this was really good booking. Then Baszler ran back in at the end for the hot tag. Exciting sort of final sequence. And then Shayna taps out Bayley, which, you know, I think is a really good win for Baszler to start rebuilding her as they have been over the last month for an eventual title shot. And Asuka taps out Banks on the outside. I thought this was very good at building the matches this weekend.
Yeah, I really, really liked this segment. I thought that everyone looked awesome in it. You kind of built multiple stories at the same time because you've got the Golden Role Models going up against Asuka at SummerSlam. You set up Asuka versus Baszler for after SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, you're also setting up Baszler versus Nia Jax. There were lots of plates spinning in this segment, but it was the one of the few times on this show where I thought WWE doing five segments at once actually worked. And I thought they did some really, really smart stuff here, and I really liked it. And it's the matches of everything that's going on at SummerSlam this weekend. I think this is the stuff I'm most excited for.
Same here. And I think a big part of that is Asuka having two matches. Then we got a video package recapping Seth and Dominic, which was almost as long as every single segment they've had so far. God, it went on forever. Then we had Apollo Crews being bumped by Cedric for that six man later on. He was like, Ricochet, Ali, Cedric Alexander, I can only pick two of you. Sorry, Cedric. Which plays into that whole Cedric's not being used properly. MVP's trying to court him for the Hurt Business. And really, it was a favor because he would have just been buried by Bobby Lashley.
Sorry. Sean has just said, should I hack the show? Try it. Yeah, good try. Good try, Sean.
Security. We've got security.
There, yeah, try it. Like to see you try, mate.
Honestly. Have you seen the size of those two? Get those two guys back up here.
Yeah, look at these two guys.
Look at these two beefcakes. Try getting past those two. Sean Ross Sapp. Emphasis on the Sapp.
My favorite part of this segment, though, because I'm going to go back to this show, Sean, because no one's paying attention to you. My favorite part of this segment was they had the scene with Apollo, Cedric, Ali, and Ricochet. They have their little chat, and they sort of walk away. And then all of a sudden, Randy Orton just walks into shot. For no reason. Like, Randy just sort of walks into shot.
No. Who walked into the shot? Who walked into the shot?
How did you get... Oh.
FTF!
Don't listen to him. Jam that jam, everybody.
Face. I'm a baby face. Look, I'm wearing Andy. Bret Hart sunglasses. Oh, and look, I'm going to take them off because I love all of you. I'm going to put them on all of you because I'm a baby face. I'm the good guy here. I'm not bad. I'm great. FTF.
Ollie, sort it out.
I'm trying to message Randy.
Hey, guys, everybody, go super chat FTF this weekend. It can mean naughty words, or it can mean friend that friend. It can mean whatever you want. It's mine. I get to decide what it means, and I've decided that it means this. Man, how's it going, guys?
It's going fine, Sean, we were trying to do a review here.
It's pretty cool that I infiltrated your news video as opposed to the other way. Usually it's just me reporting everything. Now it's me just hacking everything.
Is that how you get your reports? You just hack people's phone? News of the world, Sean Ross Sapp.
Yeah, I'm Samoa Joe's source.
Can we get security in here? Can we need to get rid of this security?
Get security back up.
Who, Pete? Because he's aerodynamic.
Yes.
He fights
Pete. Yeah, Pete.
No,
Pete's going to come
these
in.
These two guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hate to tell you, but I brought two cinder blocks with me, so I don't know how you're going to beat that.
Man, they'd beat any security system.
Oh, man, you're not going to throw them through the same window, are you?
Yeah, I want it to look like I'm clearing the way for me to walk through that window without any damage, but then not go through that window whatsoever. But my friends will be there and they're going to be cheering.
What do you have to say to these two people? Look at that. They got tattoos of Jam That Jam. Innocent, lovely, hopeful Jam. And you just want to F all over it.
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. And I wish I had a shirt to do that. But I have a shirt that has a wildcat on it because I'm from Kentucky, and that's what we wear on shirts here. But I bet wildcats fuck all over the place.
Oh,
he said the word. Fuck.
Sean.
Get
down.
Sean.
Oh, he effed it. He effed it. I was hoping he wouldn't eff it. Kentucky, more like. Oh, he's gone. He just did a little blip there of Bray Wyatt style. Well, let's try. Okay.
I think we've got this. I think we've got this for Sunday.
Yeah, it's okay. Just jam that jam, everyone.
The main
jam
thing. The main thing we need you to all to do and to tell everyone, come and watch us on the live reactions, because we'll have a live vote running. And when jam that jam wins, win, then we can banish FTF forever. It's not going to happen again. Don't worry. And if, you know, FTF does win, I have to shave my arm, write it on it, and that's the official slogan of the channel, and we'll get demonetized. I'm sure it'll be fine. Sure, that'll be fine. Don't vote for FTF. So Peyton Royce and Ruby Riott had a match.
They're still feuding. So, like, the Riott Squad were backstage, and the Iconics walked up, and I was like, come on, man. Like, And then Peyton is going to be facing Ruby Riott. They walk away. And then something genuinely piqued my interest, because they walk away and the camera cuts across and Shayna Baszler is talking with Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke. And I was like, oh, yes, we're getting this act up on the main roster. This is awesome. I did not see it coming that it was a tease for Raw Underground. And I was so annoyed at myself that I did not see that coming.
It's MMA. Of course it's going to be on Raw Underground. That's where the shoot fighters go. Yes, but before we got that reveal, we had Peyton Royce. Oh, are you okay there, Luke? You're a bit delayed.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think I'm okay here, mate.
Oh, no. Has Luke's internet cacked out again?
Oh,
I'm just
going to
continue talking and hope
I think
that...
Is it Ollie that's bad?
We can blame this on Sean again, I hope. Just going on your track record recently, Luke, I'm going to assume it's you. So I'm going to continue to review the show. You think it's me?
I think this time it's actually you.
Boy cried wolf, surely. Apparently you both seem fine.
Both seem fine. Carry on,
okay.
Man.
I think we're catching up. Yeah, I think we've synced up now. So Peyton Royce took on Ruby Riott, which I was, again, foolishly. Oh, it's Ollie that's bad. We can hear Luke. Well, screw me. I was actually excited for this because Peyton Royce has been really good recently. Ruby Riott is a really good wrestler. And we just got another really quick match. Peyton Royce hits her awesome finisher, but really annoyingly, it involved Ruby accidentally shoving Liv into Billie Kay. That's what caused the loss. So it's another Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan dissension thing when they need to just work together now.
But they did that. They did that 2 weeks ago and beat them. So I don't know why we're now doing the dissension storyline. Yeah, it's almost impossible to care about this story, which is a shame because all four of them are so talented and like it's... Yeah, it's a bit of a waste.
Yeah, story told out of order. So it's Raw Underground time, folks. Shall we just cover all the Raw Underground stuff in one go?
It was sick. It was sick. That's what it was. That was sick. Raw Underground, big man.
Should we do the whole thing sort of bopping and jumping around?
Like Shane McMahon. Oh, it was sick. Look at him. Did a move. Yeah, big man.
So Eric of the Viking Raiders beat someone. Then Dolph Ziggler was like, ooh, I'm going to have a go. He had a go. He thumbed Eric in the eye and choked him out. That was our first main roster talent versus main roster talent Raw Underground match. And I thought when they started, I thought they might go long here. They might get 5 minutes and actually have a match. But they didn't. It was still the same kind of shoot, in air quotes, quick finish style. Which I think they should... Look, my thoughts on the Raw Underground thing, we'll go through exactly what happened in a sec, is this was the third week, and I think they need substance or some kind of explanation now on what the heck it is. What are the stakes? Is it for a belt? Why are all the people there just fighting each other? And it's quite frustrating and a bit embarrassing, even without the sexy ladies.
I think that we said we would give it 3 weeks. This is the third week that it has been on. I completely agree with you. The fact that it has zero stakes, the fact that it doesn't seem to have a purpose, I don't know why it's there. I don't know why it's happening. I don't know why some people choose to do it and others don't. I don't know why Dolph's there. And I don't... Because it's never built to anything, the Viking Raiders were on this show, on main roster stuff, and did not feel any different than they did 4 weeks prior when they weren't involved in Raw Underground. Like, Ivar doesn't feel like a badass now, neither does Eric. Like, and then you, the Hurt Business interfered and sort of like said, we're running Raw Underground, and haven't been back since. And have actually just gone back to it. So it's almost like its own little pocket universe where nothing seems to matter. So in which case, and Shane is just still making it very bad and making it very uncool. And I am uncool, so I know what uncool is. It's not for me, man. I appreciate the effort. I appreciate trying something new, but I don't really buy it at the moment.
It just needs some substance. That's all I'm asking for. Some kind of thing they're fighting over, some kind of storyline reasoning as to why it's all happening. But yeah, we got the Eric and Dolph thing. Ivar threw Dolph into a crowd afterwards in frustration. And Shane didn't like that. That's naughty. So they're going to have a match next week. So that's kind of also our first promoted match. This is a Raw Underground match with a week's build. A little bit later on, we got Arturo Roas versus Riddick Moss. Which, they've both been featured before. They went to a no contest because they brought into the crowd, which kind of sort of undermines the rules, or what I thought were the rules in the No Rules Fight Club.
Can I just stop you for a second there, Ollie Davis? All Elite Wrestling are in the chat with us. They just want us to randomly pop in and say hello. So, hello, All Elite Wrestling.
Is it the All Elite Wrestling?
Apparently so.
Seriously?
Mod Mother just messaged to be like, by the way, AEW are in the chat. So, hey, guys. Nice to see you.
Hey, guys. Love you. So the main thing I took away from this is how All Elite Wrestling is so much better than WWE. And I think that... Please be my friend. Please send me all of the... You know how when you write a comic book for Marvel, you get put on that list and they send you every release, every month, every issue? That's what I want from your toy line, AEW. I want action figures. I want them all sent to me. No, they're not. This is a parody account. This is Sean Ross Sapp screwing with me.
We are all Elite Wrestling. Ollie Davis Marks
has also just posted, we are all secretly Ollie Davis Marks. This is too much.
Oh man, what a day.
It's not All Elite Wrestling. Thanks. It can't be. Okay, let's get back to... Just super, if it is UAEW, super chat in with Tony Khan's millions. He owes me a lot of money.
The other thing I wanted to say on Raw Underground is this: Arturo and Riddick Moss match. It ended in a no contest, right? Like the match just sort of stopped. Like they just went out the ring, and then Shane was like, "That's enough."
I was confused too. I had to look on the Reddit write-up, which said, yes, this was a sort of no contest thing. And then later on, we got Marina Shafir having her debut match after being set up as the Four Horsewomen earlier. And she won. Nia Jax attacked her afterwards. And Duke, who was in the crowd, Jessamyn Duke. And then Shayna came in, had a stare down, and Nia Jax ran away. So it's kind of just a way to build Shayna versus Nia Jax, which isn't the way, you know, we freaking fantasy booked the Four Horsewomen MMA version debuting on the main roster for literally years. And it's always been against the WWE Four Horsewomen of Charlotte, Becky, Sasha, and Bayley. Now, two of those are heels. The other two are out of the company right now. It can't happen. So, of course, WWE book it in a feud with Nia Jax.
Yeah, and do it now. They wait until they're all gone, and then they do it. Yeah, not great. And as I said, like, I was genuinely, when I saw Baszler with Shafir and Duke, I was like, yes, amazing. Let's actually have this, just have those two flanking them, because I really enjoyed that act in NXT. But no, it was just for Raw Underground, which I'm not into. I was a bit saddened by that.
Yeah, so hopefully they've got bigger things in store. But I kind of took it as just another thing they've chucked at the wall, unfortunately. So I'm going to not get excited by it. excuse me. Then we got in. So that was like, that played out through the last hour. Rey Mysterio and Dominic came out to cut a promo. Rey Mysterio was talking about the pain in his eye and the pain of seeing Dominic getting beaten up brutally last week. I thought Dominic's selling here was really good. He was holding his body. Yeah. He got over the fact that he was injured, which was helped by them showing the pictures of the welts and the cuts from the beatdown last week. Can you hear that? It's my asthma that I picked up over the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Sorry if there's any wheezing. I'm really impressed by Dominic every time he does something. He hasn't really put a foot wrong yet. And they goad out Seth and Buddy, and it's all a ruse because Dominic's not as injured as he led on, and Ray and Dominic beat up Seth with some kendo sticks. That's a good go-home angle, I thought.
Yeah, this was the best build to a SummerSlam match that's going to happen this weekend, with the exception actually of the Golden Role Model stuff, I thought was good as well. But I really, really liked this. Though Ray was great. I thought Dominic was great. Seth and Murphy coming out, sort of the cocky heels, being like, ah, look at us with the advantage. Oh no, we're being beaten up by kendo sticks. I thought Seth selling it at the top of the ramp was really good. I'm genuinely pretty stoked for Dominic Mysterio's in-ring debut at SummerSlam.
This is a fantastic couple of month feud that's played out before us. It's a shame. The only thing I'm going to remember it for is Rey Mysterio's eye falling out.
Yes, unfortunately so.
That's silly. Oh my God. No, stop it.
No. Random fun fact. This is from All Elite Wrestling. Random fun fact. Before Dynamite in Austin, Texas, Ortiz was watching WrestleTalk in catering.
Well, we know a lot of the Impact guys would watch us, so maybe that's carried over. I'm not believing it.
It feels too good.
I think it's mind games from Sean Ross Sapp. So after that we got the six man, which we've already kind of covered with the, unfortunately had the burial of Ali and Ricochet very early on, and then it was Lashley who beat Apollo Crews. So MVP lost another match when he's fighting for the title this Sunday.
That's what I didn't get, like, with this match, is that the build for the US title match between MVP and Apollo Crews had Bobby Lashley standing tall, and that was it. Like, it was so weird. Like, you eliminated Ali and Ricochet early, and then so you're like, oh man, now Apollo's gonna fight back on his own 3-on-1. So he quickly eliminates Shawn. You're like, oh, and then he just eliminates MVP, who he's facing at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Lashley beats him. So, like, what was the point of this match to build to SummerSlam?
And Apollo had already beaten MVP a couple of weeks ago. I think it's quite clear they're building Apollo versus Lashley, maybe for payback. And MVP is weirdly the stepping stone to get there. I don't know why I predicted. Spoiler for the predictions later. I predicted MVP to win.
You did.
And Cedric Alexander came out. You thought he was going to side with MVP maybe, but no, it's a ruse. He won the 24/7 title from Shelton Benjamin. And then there was a match after that where Akira Tozawa had a match with Cedric Alexander for the 24/7 title. And Benjamin won it back. This is 205 Live, isn't it? This is where Akira Tozawa... Akira Tozawa and Cedric Alexander, they could have a hell of a match. And they're doing this.
Yeah. And we've got the Andrade-Montez Ford match.
And finally, the main event. Yeah, so I guess that was the main event match, Ford and Andrade. The main event was the much-promoted return of Shawn Michaels, HBK, to Raw. He came down, he did all his usual poses, and then he was like, now watch a video of Ric Flair getting punted in the head. Serious time now. And he cut out... Ric Flair's promo was just fantastic last week. This kind of paled in comparison, but was still, you know, very competent. What was... And then Randy, surprise, surprise, you'll never see it coming. He hits an RKO and immediately followed up with a punt. Usually he's a lot more... stalking and takes his time, but he did it really quickly, which you believe is because Drew is going to run out and chase him off. I thought that was good tactics from Randy. But then I thought the segment kind of just fell apart a bit. This is your go-home angle and the final segment of the entire show for SummerSlam. And Michael starts to stand up. And then I was like, wait a second. Did Randy definitely hit the punt? Am I misremembering it? There's no way anyone should be getting up after a punt, let alone a retired Shawn Michaels after an RKO. And Randy, like, tried to get in and hit an RKO on Drew, but dropped him up again. Then Randy came in again, and hit the RKO. So I was like, well, what was that weird second bit? It just seemed like an awkward, clumsy mistake.
It made Drew look a bit dumb, because like Drew looked really awesome when he came out and, like, you know, to protect Shawn Michaels, and then he saw Randy Orton trying to attack him, so he beats up Randy Orton, he's throwing him around all over the ring, and that was really awesome. Throws him over the desk, Randy Orton's bumping like a madman to make Drew look awesome, and then Drew just turns his back on him and gets back in the ring so Randy can hit an RKO on him. And I think it was just so Tom Phillips could say he never saw it coming. But
could do that.
Tom Phillips, he sort of did, because he stopped one of them.
Yeah, I, and the idea of Michaels not selling the punt with death, anything other than death, is not selling it enough. Shawn Michaels now has no right to criticize Leo Rush for getting up off a CZW table spot off a ladder. But yeah, that was the show. Overall, I thought it was a bit poor, especially with the expectations of a go-home show. Expectations I shouldn't really hold anymore, because WWE don't really do go-home shows. They just do a show before a pay-per-view. But yeah, I gave it 2 out of 5.
I think that is an absolutely fair score. I didn't think it was a particularly good show, to be honest. I thought it was... As I said at the start of this, I felt exhausted by the end of it, because so much happened on this show. But at the same time, not all of it really mattered. Not all of it really built to SummerSlam. And a lot of the choices were just really baffling. And I actually detracted from SummerSlam build. So yeah, I didn't think this was a particularly good show at all. I would like to ask, though, if AEW are still in the chat, just so we can thank them for hiring Pete last week.
Yeah, that was really nice.
To be part of the Dark Order. We really, really appreciate you putting him in there for a little bit.
That's good. So let's get on with the Patreon shout-outs before we get on with all of your Super Chats. We've run massively over again. What's happened to us? We used to be able to talk about wrestling in 45 minutes. But now it takes us an hour and 20. My girlfriend is furious. She doesn't like that I kick her out the living room for most of the day anyway. And that these shows that I said that'd be done by four, That'll definitely be done by four this week. Oh, thank you, All Elite Wrestling. I can't believe this is happening. It's made me so happy. Right, so let's fire through these super chats because we've got a bunch. The Jam one, Ryan B. Jam. Good, good name. What if Metribution is part of a new gimmick change for Aleister Black and he's the leader of his group?
Yeah, we've seen a few people suggest Aleister Black being part of the group. I just hope it becomes cool if he gets there.
Yeah, I think Black works better as a solo force, but, you know, if he's going to have a gimmick change, this would be dramatic. And you know, hopefully be a sign of a push. Brandon Rosen, fantasy booking. What if Metribution is a byproduct of Raw Underground, much like in the film Fight Club, when the club becomes the anarchist group Project Mayhem and Shane McMahon is the ringleader? So you think Shane McMahon has got a sort of narcoleptic, dual insomniac split personality where he's walking around as Brad Pitt organizing Retribution?
That'd actually be quite amazing. That would be quite amazing.
I've never thought about it, but you're right. I think they just chuck two ideas at the wall at the same time. But it does really closely mirror what happens in Fight Club. Spoilers? El Fermentado. Theory. Metribution only want to fight in Underground. We haven't seen him do anything
yet. Because I think you could just show up. Like, I think you just walk through the door. As long as you say, can I go in, big man? They'll let you in.
Peter Mullins. Drew's sword effect is for the Claymore, probably because a front-facing landmine is too extreme of a finisher. Wouldn't want the kids to copy that one.
Sword effect is for the Claymore?
Schwing. That's my sword sound effect. And a front-facing landmine.
Your sound effect for a sword is the same as Wayne Campbell's for a boner.
Schwing. Yeah, that's the sound it makes when it comes out of the hoist.
I've heard.
Yeah. Nate drops surname. Poor even for Raw standards. Cutting off the main event go home promo by Drew for what? Who let the truck bring the show back from commercial? LOL. Did not get me excited for SummerSlam. Jam that jam. Yeah. Luis De Silva. Sean's selling was a bit odd. Why not just RKO him first so Drew can check on him? RKO Drew, then punt HBK to close the show looked really weird. That is a better order. I agree there. Mm-hmm. Peter Mullins. So the punt is dead. That's a shame. Damn it, HBK. I wouldn't say it's dead, but it's, you know, it's weird because that's a very protective move. Maybe Sean went into business for himself. Drew Wendell, what about Raw Underground as a match stipulation? They ruined Hell in a Cell. Maybe this could be the new end of a blood feud.
Hey, Muscle Man Malcolm pitched this when we were talking about, like, what do you want next for Raw Underground? His suggestion was it should just be a match stipulation as opposed to weird segments on Raw. This match cannot be fought within the ring. I'll see you in Raw Underground.
But it's just a quite crowded lumberjack match.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't do it for me, I'm afraid. I'll pass it over to you for the women's segment.
Miguel 88, my friends and I are loving the Korn Baszler shirt. Love seeing wrestlers who are Games Workshop nerds as well. Baszler is the best female wrestler. She's got great t-shirts as Baszler.
Is Korn like a Warhammer
must
thing?
Must be a Warhammer thing. I haven't played 40K in 20 plus years, maybe even more than that. I haven't played Warhammer 40K.
So I'm reading my business magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And what stock tip do I see to buy? Games Workshop.
Do you know what? I wonder if that's because, you know, we've been in lockdown in this pandemic, that people have just been looking for a hobby. And what better hobby is there sometimes than spending a lot of money at Games Workshop and painting all the little figures?
Die-cast metal. Die-cast. It's only going to go up in value. Safer than gold.
One cool dog says, I don't think it was Zelina, but Charlie Caruso in Zelina's outfit and a wig.
I think we've got the solution there, because that's what you want. Charlie Caruso being an in storyline. She could be a manager. I'm not against a heel Charlie Caruso. That's how she does most of her interviews anyway.
Hey, Ollie, you're a bit rubbish. Can you tell me about the match you just had?
The match you just lost?
Apparently, Reuters says, really enjoyed the Iconics. Peyton push incoming. Yeah, they were teasing again, kind of like the split between the Iconics, which I don't want to see.
I think one of the fastest ways to be recognized by Vince McMahon is have success in a fitness or bodybuilding competition, which Peyton did over the weekend. Congratulations.
Kara Stelt said, I loved Shafir's submission. NXT wasn't pushing Shafir and Duke once Shayna left. Isn't it good for them to be established as legit and not just henchwomen? It's four horsewomen after all, not two and friends.
Yeah, but she didn't beat anyone of substance. I was left thinking they played as fodder for Nia Jax to take out rather than Shayna. Not all they're getting a push. But, you know, it's the first week. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Jonathan Hepman says, I'm going to watch this show later. Raw was a show. I missed the days of go-home shows having meaningful angles setting up the pay-per-view. Also, I heard SummerSlam's jam song the other day. It reminded me of FTF versus JTJ fight. LOL, jam that jam.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. And thank you for your generous super chat there.
Very generous. Uwa says, WWE drops the PG era. 3 days later, they tried to crucify the Messiah on live TV. That escalated quickly.
Yeah, but the last Monday's segment was far more visceral.
Wallace Whitfield, is WWE leaving the PG era? I haven't seen TV-14 in 2 days now.
Yeah, so SmackDown was rated TV-14, but there was nothing on that show that really used that higher rating. So I don't know.
Wilson Simon says, do you think Matt Riddle is a forever mid-card guy?
I'm worried. I'm worried they'll slot him in there. Without the reactions of crowds too, they're not going to know how over he could be. So I hope not, but that's a concern.
Amy Lavin, I honestly think Cesaro should move on to somewhere else. He'd fit in so well in New Japan. I'd say AEW, but I don't know if the fans would dig it. I think fans would bloody love it. If Claudio Castagnoli went to AEW, I think fans would be going nuts for it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Cesaro's one of the top people I want to see leave WWE and do something elsewhere.
Brandon Rosen, I'm afraid the creative of last night's Raw was the closest it has fallen to the levels of WCW 2000. Agree or disagree? Thanks, JTJ.
Well, yeah, thanks to the JTJ. Nowhere close. And nowhere close to being a bad Raw, like compared to some other Raws we've got this year. So no, I disagree there. Go back and watch some of WCW in 2000. If you ever make that comparison, go back and actually watch it.
Yeah, because like that was week to week, 1 out of 5 shows. You know, this was a 2 out of 5 show. We don't have a name for this one, but they donated 500 yen. I'm finding it really hard to watch WWE with the moral compromise of the Saudi shows, etc. It's hard to find. It's actually already hard. And the storylines, an injustice to all of the talent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's tough. And I found it most tough wrestling in general after the speaking out stuff. But, you know, love wrestling as the sort of art. And then, you know, hopefully that will weather the storm. AEW, like the subject of AEW, Sats Vault says AEW is clearly on Ollie's payroll. Yeah, I'm the one. That's the direction of money traffic. Peter Mullins, AEW in the chat. Don't see that on the bump. Wrestle Talk number one. KML, Sean Ross Sapp hijacking, AEW in the chat. All this chaos wouldn't have happened if we had another referee here, damn it. Maybe we needed a third security guard. Maybe that's we undersold it with two. Zachary Jenkins, unpopular opinion, but a WWE versus AEW match no one thinks about. Young Bucks versus the Usos, brothers versus brothers. What's your guy's opinion?
I wouldn't say that's an unpopular opinion. I think that'd be a great match. I think that whenever people ask, like, you know, because we get that question in quite a few times in the mailbag of like, what's your WWE versus AEW dream match? There's so much good talent on both shows that like, it's almost impossible to just, you know, for everyone to have a consistent, that is the match I would pick.
Plus, I think a lot of the debate is taken up by New Day versus the Elite because they've got that video game rivalry there. But I think, yeah, Bucks versus the Usos would be the better match.
So great. Although the Bucks will be outnumbered by three Usos.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Nice callback. Sam Cropper. I've noticed that the only two top AEW stars who have never interacted on screen are Moxley and Cody. Could they be saving this for a mega feud? Definitely. I think a Cody heel, Moxley, as he currently is, huge program.
That is absolutely not by accident.
Rich McCann, I used to think that Ollie was a bit too critical of the AEW women's division.
There is the shit.
You're so right. I don't know how much control Brandy has backstage over the women's division, but it reminds me of the WCW booking. Again, go back and watch the WCW booking before you make these comparisons. But yeah, it's not good. We've said our piece week after week. Rich McCann, again, he's got a few, actually. I thought it was bad Brandy was the only female action figure before they made it a storyline. She thinks she has heel heat. For me, it's go-away heat. It's the risky run.
It's weird as well, because she's very much playing this heel in the tag tournament thing, but then she's still sort of smiling babyface going up with Cody as part of the Nightmare family. So, yeah, I'm not sure on that one.
And it's a lesson they learned last year when Brandy would accompany Cody down and be babyface, but then also be part of the Nightmare Collective. Like, okay. We want a bit more consistency from... We expect more consistency from AEW. Rich McCann again. I think that AEW reacts to fans' opinions, but not with the women's division, because Cody does not accept criticism of Brandy, which makes me lose respect for him. That's a bit of armchair psychology. You don't know. It might not be Cody and Brandy. It could just be the sort of travel situation, whatever. Could be Tony just going, look at the numbers, look where ratings are. We don't know the reason for it, but we definitely know it's not working.
Yes. And Injection 2K, lastly on AEW, has said, WWE is so boring, we've resulted to talk about AEW. which is, we said this just before we started this stream. It's very weird that AEW came into the chats today, so quite fortuitous. But all of the Super Chats early doors were just about AEW. Mm. It was so bizarre. I said, no one actually wants to see. Seymour Mendez says, seeing Ollie fanboy out to AEW in the chat was amazing.
It was pretty cool. I still... Mod Mother Jenna's message saying, no, it's the official AEW account. I'm like, I still don't believe it. It's a ruse. I'm getting worse.
Bacon Rasher on the subject of WrestleTalk related said, hey lads, can't watch live today as I'm covering someone at work and I'm more busy than Vince with rewrites. Have a great show. Jam that jam. Wrestle Luke forever. Great win last week.
Thank you. All this guy.
Oh. Peter Mullins might have a better name than Metribution. Dear Lord, it's Retribusap. Quick, jam the jam.
Don't give him ideas.
KML, SRS is going to need to change the rating of WrestleTalk to PG-14.
It's TV-14, but yes, good super chat.
The Jam One, Ryan B. Jam, says SRS needs WrestleTalk to use the hashtag FTF because they get triple his views. Hashtag JTJ.
You're damn right. Listen to that. Numbers don't lie.
Dartrain24, Ollie, first time I've been able to say this since it happened, but now you are a Quizzlemania champion. I think it's time to go get your jacket back.
Maybe a Quizzlemania champion does need a jacket.
Well, I mean, it's let's not get a. I mean, we've got a lot on our plates at the moment, but we'll certainly see how you do the next Quizzlemania as well before we get too excited. Jake Weeks had a dream last night where it was Drew and Randy at SummerSlam. The ref goes down and Luke Owen hits a 450 splash to cost Drew the title. WTF. I wouldn't hit the Swanton was my move when I was doing backyard wrestling. Jamie Lavin, I mean, Ollie is devilishly handsome. I'm also a mark.
Thanks very much. That's nice of you to say.
Sean Turner, the enemy of my enemy is my BFF, Sean. Cultaholic.
What a super team up to ward off FTF. I don't know. That's long-term booking. You'd do that at Survivor Series.
Degenerate Forever 84. Jam that jam is better than SRS's version. Hashtag Team WrestleTalk.
Nice censorship in advance.
Anthony Bennett says, have you guys checked out WP Musing on Twitter? They do match statistics and it's fantastic. Definitely check out their work.
Oh, I'll check it out. Everyone else, if you hear that, PW Musings. Dylan Russell, not wrestling related, wanted to share music I think you would both like. Ever heard of the band Issues? If not, check out their song Tapping Out, hashtag JTJ.
Well, I loaded up onto Spotify. Issues was a pretty bad Korn album, I can tell you
that. Zachary Jenkins, Luke or Ollie, you guys read the comic DC Metal? It's a good read, but sorry, so dark.
Issues was an amazing album. Sorry, I was thinking of Untouchables. Sorry.
Yes, I have read Metal. I thought it was very good. I'm a huge Grant Morrison fan, so I like the way Scott Snyder wrote most of it. Used that larger lore in it. Seth Amphetamines. Hey, Ollie, have you heard the Front Bottoms new song, Fairbanks, Alaska? It's such a jam. Listen to that after this. Me and Seth Amphetamines are a fellow Front Bottoms fans. They're a band. I'm not talking about vaginas.
I'm going to say, I apologize for saying that Issues was a bad album. It's actually a fantastic album.
Tomo's up in the chat. Yeah.
Tomo, good to see you again, mate. Okay, right. Well, Robert said FTF, so has Fox, Garand ND, Nate drop surname. I, for one, welcome my new FTF overlords.
Nate! Sean,
I was going to, yeah.
Nate drop surname is a long time, like a long time viewer. Are you that fickle for the smut?
Sean has said, Sean's new terms. First term, Wrestle Talk should be called Butt Talk. Second term, Chopper will be exiled for 1 year. Three, Team Fakedor must shave his beard. So Wrestle Talk eats. How would you? Wrestle Talk will eat live on camera. Hashtag
oh,
FTF.
God. Eating Laurie's beard.
Yeah, doesn't sound great. Jose dark. Riviera. So, Valentin says, Brandy actually has no control over the women's division. She said it on their podcast, Kenny is in charge. And Peter Mullins, jacket that jacket, Ollie.
Maybe I will. But that's all we've got time for today. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining in this. Oh, why can't we get a show under 80 minutes at the moment? But, you know, more content for you. And to be honest, I don't care about any of you anymore. I'm best friends with AEW.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching AEW and everybody else. You know I love you.
Before I ask you for how your weekend was, how have you found calling spots? Did you get to watch it back?
I did watch it back. I love the little Terrence and Phillips style animation of our face. When the editor is kind of illustrating how the concept will work when Pete's doing the voiceover explaining it. There's all of us there with our mouths bah, 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 sort of moving like that to suggest speech. But yeah, it was fun watching it back. It was even more fun recording it and doing it in person. But watching it back, I am concerned that you might have cheated.
So if you haven't seen, Calling Spots is a new show that we launched on Parts of Unknown yesterday, our brother channel, which is telephone. So Critical Role have been doing it sort of in lockdown, and we thought it'd be a really fun to do a wrestling version. Pete's kind of been pushing for it for like months for us to do. But then Adam suggested it. And we were like, that's a great idea.
No, it's because Adam actually did it. Pete was like, this will be good. I'm like, yeah, cool. Do it.
So Adam kind of organized it. So we did it and it was good fun, but there was a comment that was left on the video that really tickled me, that accused me of cheating. J'accused me of cheating on the show because I said that Shane McMahon was sweating in my story that I was telling, which Laurie, who had gone before me, had not said. So this commenter thought that I was cheating and I was watching other people's videos. And I just thought, like, just a momentary second to think about that. If surely I'd have picked out loads of details rather than just remembered the one common factor we say about Shane McMahon in basically every video. He's a bit of a sweaty lad.
Yeah, so Luke has been fuming about this all morning. Posted it on our little internal Discord, raving about it in the predictions video outside of the record. The team meeting this morning.
Well,
have you seen this?
I only brought it up on the team meeting this morning because Louis wanted to stop the team meeting to tell me that I was rubbish at the game. Which I take the knock with a little bit because I'm like, I got like three things wrong in the entire video. I got basically everything that Laurie said, but from three things.
Key things.
They're not key things. I didn't get the Horizon Curvier joke and I forgot trampled by horses.
What I think your strength was in the game is not so much forgetting key details, it was adding new ones.
What details did I add?
You didn't add. You just more stalled. There's some great bits when you can't remember what to say. So you just start going, well, yeah, and it's amazing. All this stuff's happened and it's just filler. It's just gas.
Can you believe the reaction that Brock Lesnar got, the disrespect that he showed, but can you believe it?
But it's a lot of fun, and we love to have fun, so we'd love for you to go and check it out on Pots for Now.
Absolutely. Please do go check it out. We really, really enjoyed it. We are hoping to do more of them, so please do go and support that video, because I very much enjoyed doing it. It's good to kind of get some like personality across. I very much enjoyed it. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. It's kind of difficult to do anything here in the southeast of England right now because there's too much weather, folks. That's right. We're talking about the weather, but it's not boring weather. It's sometimes torrential rain. It's sometimes lightning. It's sometimes hideously sunny. What is happening to the world? I think it's ending in 2020.
Maybe. I mean, we were just recording our SummerSlam 2010 podcast for our Patreon backers. And in like at the start of that, I had torrential rain, thunder and lightning. And now it's bright sunshine. Like 20 minutes later, it's bright sunshine now outside. So you're right. It is kind of difficult. Like I was at my in-laws over the weekend and our plan was to initially when we first booked it, was to have drinks outside in the garden because it's summer. We'll all sit down. We can socially distance and it'll be a very, very lovely time. But the weather forecast told us it's going to completely chuck it down with rain. And it had been all week and you know, it'd been really bad. We actually managed to sit outside all day. And
it, outrageous.
It kind of drizzled a little bit, but we were just under a big brolly. So it was all right. So yeah, we stayed outside until about 10 p.m.
Screw you, weather. Luke's got a gazebo.
Try and stop me now. But so you didn't do anything at all over the weekend.
Well, went on a long walk.
Yes. Yeah.
Not much going on. It's still pretty locked down, isn't it?
Yeah. There's an email we're going to read here from Eli. I'm trying to think if we've actually read this out before. Oh no, that's directed for Pete only. Do you want to just read an email that's directed for Pete only?
Yeah, because this is ridiculous. How are they getting more fan correspondence than us? Support at WrestleTalk.com, everybody.
Eli says, as I heard you and Ollie share awkward social interactions, I thought I'd share some of my own. Of course, we've all had the classic exchange with a worker at a movie theater where you say, enjoy the movie, and you say, you too. Or an airport worker when they take your ticket and you say, enjoy your flight, and you say, enjoy yours too. I've learned to just be quiet in these moments. However, one of my most awkward moments came in high school. Oh, we have heard this where the teacher is using the student bathroom. We did have this. Why did this not get deleted? Because I was like, God, this remains. Just seems very, very familiar.
Terrible filing system.
Very sorry. So this one comes from Kai. He said, I just want to thank you all for all the laughs. You and keeping me, not only me, but my family spirits high during this tough time. Live in America. Having hope and joy is very hard at the moment. So thank you, Ollie, for the dad jokes, Wonder Ollie, and amazing segues. Thank you, Luke, for the genuine energy that you bring during the videos in Quizzlemania. Thank you, Chopper Beat, for being such a sport for all you do for everyone there. Thank you to Laurie Blake for your snappy yet stern jokes that remind us of the start. Oh, he's not going to like this. That remind us of the style of James Corden.
Whoa! Oh, send it. Copy that. Copy and paste it. Send it to Laurie right now. We might have a live on-air reaction via text.
Go to Discord.
Do you think you bring genuine energy to Quizlemania?
I mean, I did win a lot.
Genuine energy. it's just a weird way to phrase it.
Do you not think I bring energy to it?
I think you bring presence. I think if I was to talk about your contribution to Quizlemania, I'd say knowledge. What's the word when you carry yourself well as a champion? You know, like sort of sensitivity or, I don't know, respect, loyalty, hustle, you know, that sort of stuff. Genuine excitement. None of this feigned excitement that everyone else shows. Luke loves quizzes.
Anyway, Kai finishes. Thank you, everyone, behind the scenes at Rest Talk, making it and all you do happen. Just being yourselves helped everyone in the world, and I have nothing but the utmost thanks for you all. Thank you very much for your very, very kind email.
We've got an immediate update. Laurie Blake.
Laurie
Blake is typing.
it's responsible. Wow, this is an ultra combo's worth of backhanders.
Snappy yet stern jokes that remind us of the style of James Corden. Sorry, this. I'm just picking apart your email, lovely person who's just complimented us all. James Corden isn't as beloved in the UK as he seems to be, rather inexplicably, in the States.
I was going to say, I mean, we basically chased him out of this country to be like, God, we are sick of your terrible. Could you please go away for a bit? And he was like, yeah, that's fine. I've got a much better deal in America. They like me over there. It's kind of like how we got rid of Piers Morgan for a few years.
He came back stronger.
Well, that's because he was too liberal for America. Piers Morgan, too liberal for America, so they sent him back. But yeah, we managed to get rid of James Corden. But he did come back recently for the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special, which... I've not seen Gavin and Stacey before, but I did see the Christmas special. And I'm pretty sure what the main takeaway I had from that show is that everyone thinks James Corden is hilarious in the show. The whole show is designed to be friggin' hell, he's funny, isn't he? Bloody hell, he's a funny guy.
We watched all of Gavin and Stacey after that because I hadn't seen it either. And it's more balanced. It's also the Ruth Nessa is the name of her character. She's also very funny. But
she's got a Welsh accent. Yeah. Hilarious.
But back then, Corden was funny. I don't know what happened.
This comes in from Jonathan, who says, hey, everyone, hope you're doing fantastic. I have a question for everyone. Since SummerSlam's tagline is you'll never see it coming, what are your realistic and outlandish thoughts that we would never see coming? I'm assuming it's going to be a show closer. My thoughts are heel John Cena or Roman Reigns returning to help The Fiend win the Blue Universal Championship.
Whoa, John Cena would be a great idea. It's not going to happen, but it would be a great idea off of the back of the WrestleMania Firefly Funhouse match. Reigns, I don't see why he would get involved. Although, whatever. I've had predictions videos up later today. I sort of stole Brian Alvarez's one of Ric Flair coming back and turning on Drew and pairing with Randy. So that's kind of one, but I think we can see that coming now. I don't know. In terms of 2020 predictions, I read an article about how the Pentagon are being quite liberal in declassifying UFO documents and signings recently. And summarized with, you know what, of all the years when an alien invasion could happen, this is the one. So that's my big life, you'll never see it coming. I think we're going to get invaded by aliens this year.
Do you know what, funny enough, my wife said to me this morning, this does feel like we're in sort of an end of the world scenario at the moment, and that maybe things just do need to end so we can just start over again. And I was reminded because Austin Powers was trending yesterday on Twitter for whatever reason. So everyone was sharing around. Well, so it is a great movie and it proper holds up as well. Everyone was sharing around. One of my favorite moments from this is when he gets thawed out and there's a Russian intelligence officer there. And he's like, Russian intelligence, are you mad? It's like, Austin, the Cold War's over. We don't have to worry about them anymore. It's like, ah, yes, good comrades. God, those capitalist pigs finally paid the price. No, Austin, we won. And he just goes, oh, yay, smashing groovy. Yay, capitalism.
That is good.
Yeah, is that it?
Yeah. What? Man, that was that. Yeah, I can't go any more than alien invasion. What do you think's gonna happen in life in general, or just SummerSlam?
I tell you what, I'll use this as a way to plug SummerSlam predictions that'll be going up later today over on the Wrestle Talk channel. And we'll be doing the SummerSlam live streams. It'll be myself. It'll be Laurie Blake. It will be Oliver Davis. And it will be Adam Blompier doing the live stream SummerSlam reactions. Can you believe it? All four of us not in the same room, but certainly in a virtual room together. I think it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to having you back on the live stream reactions.
Yeah, ideally we'd have everyone, you know, Pete, Louis, Andy, but it'll be just a gibberish mess if there's any more. We're pushing it with four, I think, with video calls like that and watch-alongs. But yeah, it'll be really good. I'm looking forward to it too.
Good. Well, you can join us for that. So it's a bit of an update to the schedule for this week. No AEW podcast because AEW is not on Wednesday this week. It's on Saturday, which means there's no AEW podcast at all because Andy and Pete will be doing the SmackDown podcast. We've got to prepare ourselves for SummerSlam and things like that. So there'll be no AEW review this week, I'm afraid. But Pete, oh my God, I'm getting the names wrong. Adam and Laurie will be doing a big live NXT podcast review. So if you enjoy the NXT negativity, you'll enjoy it at this time with Super Chats. So you can look forward to that on Thursday. But yeah, until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.